Okay, so we're going to talk about Skylar Richardson, who was born Brooke Skylar Richardson, but she goes by Skylar. And like I said, she at the time that this all happened, she was an 18-year-old girl from Carlisle, Ohio, and she was accused of 5 different charges in the death of her newborn baby. So to understand a little more about this case, I kind of want to talk a bit about what happened leading up to May 7th, 2017. And I kind of want to go like a year back into that. So Skylar was described as a popular, sweet, quiet girl in their small town. And while she got a lot of attention and seemed like a normal high school girl, she suffered from an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Her parents said that they noticed the issue when she was in 6th grade, which is actually really young.
That is so young to start that.
I know. And she wouldn't even buy gum because it had 5 calories in it. And
gum has calories?
That's literally what her mom said. Her mom was like, I didn't even realize gum had calories. But yeah, so she suffered from bulimia from a very young age and binge eating. So she was a cheerleader. So like during cheering, she would make herself throw up and whatnot after eating. But then on the off season, she would binge eat and throw up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, super sad. And she was taken to a doctor. She was given medication. Her parents had like tried everything they possibly could. And eventually she was diagnosed with body dysmorphia. Which, for anybody who doesn't know, body dysmorphia is a disease that, like, pretty much you see something different in the mirror than somebody else sees looking at you. Which, that's so sad to me. Like,
yeah, especially so young, too.
I know. And from what I understand, like, nothing helped it. Like, there's no helping that.
Yeah.
Back when she was diagnosed.
Yeah.
They felt that they had tried everything and nothing had helped it. So in late July 2016, before Skylar began her senior year, she briefly dated one of her friend's cousins. So they didn't like go to school with her or anything like that, but she started dating him and the relationship was super short and it ended by the time she was back in school. So it was a very brief relationship, but from what I understand, she was like quite popular and it was easy for her to get a boyfriend. Like, she always seemed to have a boyfriend. And to be honest, I can't really seem to find that guy's name.
All I know is that his last name is Johnson, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it was kind of like protected to keep his privacy.
Mm-hmm.
His first name. So I couldn't really find anything. I actually couldn't even find Johnson. So the fact that you found that, like,
thank you.
But by January of 2017, so also still her senior year, and after she had broken up with this other guy, or he broke up with her, she started dating a new guy named Brandon. And her parents said that they noticed that she was starting to gain a little weight, and she seemed super, super happy. So they thought that maybe her eating disorder was in the past and they could, like, move forward from it. Like, maybe this Brandon guy was, like, a really good influence and
yeah.
Was making her happy, whatever. And in March of 2017, so 2 months later, the entire family had gone on a vacation and Skylar actually wore a two-piece bathing suit, which her parents say was like a big deal for her. And she looked very average. Like, she looked like she had gained quite a bit of weight for how tiny she was.
So she wouldn't wear a bathing suit prior to this, like a two-piece?
They said she did, but, like, wouldn't want to be photographed in it and was, like, very insecure. So it's actually interesting to me that, like, they have pictures of her in this bathing suit because of how much she had gained weight.
I just, like, feel like if I was, like, that skinny, I'd be like, please take a picture of me.
Right. And, like, have you seen the picture of her in this bathing suit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, she looks almost heavy. Like, not even pregnant, just heavy.
Yeah.
But yeah, her parents were kind of happy that she looked like she was gaining some weight and looked pretty normal. And the one thing I will say that I kind of want to mention about her eating disorder is her mom, to me, and that I could be totally wrong, her mom to me seems like she was kind of the source of this eating disorder.
I see where you're coming from.
It kind of seems like, even though her mom talks about wishing that she would gain weight and, like, was happy about it and whatnot, like, there are certain things that I've noticed that make me feel another way. Like, and I'll get into this later, but there are text messages between the two that are a little weird that make it seem almost so as, like, Skylar's looking for her mom's approval in the losing weight. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, did you pick up on that?
The text that was sent the day of the,
of everything happening. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems to me like her mom may have been more so than Skylar was interested in Skylar losing weight.
Right.
So by late April, Skylar and Brandon were getting, like, quite a bit more serious. And her mom wanted to take her to her, like, the mom's OBGYN to get birth control to protect herself. And when she took her to the appointment in April 2017, the doctor immediately gave her a pregnancy test, as, like, I'm pretty sure every woman knows a doctor does. Like, when you go in there for your annual or whatever, any kind of a checkup, they give you a pregnancy test, mostly to make sure that you're not pregnant.
Right.
See, in cases like this, right? So, at this point, the doctor had informed her that she was 8 months pregnant, which 8 months is a long time.
So long. How do you not know? Like, I know. You have to have some, like, when I watched that show, like, I, like, the didn't know I was pregnant show or whatever, I'm like, how?
You're right, especially off? Somebody who had, like, a disorder like that.
Oh, really?
What?
Wait, what?
I'm saying, like, somebody especially who had body dysmorphia, like, you had to think, like, there was something going on.
Right, like, if she sees herself in a different light and then she's actually gaining weight, like, she must see herself, like, friggin' huge.
Right. And she probably did, but was trying to avoid it, right?
I mean, that's what I would do, probably. That's what I'm currently doing.
So, the doctor told her that she was 8 months pregnant, and Skylar kind of broke down and cried and begged him not to tell her mom or anybody. And as doctor-patient confidentiality, like, he couldn't. However, this is kind of where, like, I have a little bit of confusion, because from what I'm reading and what I understand is she begged the doctor to give her a birth control prescription to kind of, like, make her mom not suspicious until she could figure out what to do.
Well,
and
from what I understand, there's only one thing you're doing, honey. You're giving birth.
Oh, you like, are. You're 8 months now.
Yeah. Like,
this is where you're at.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, the doctor actually did give her that prescription. And
Did anyone look into him at all?
In the, like, future?
Like, yeah. Because I feel like I didn't read anything on that.
You know, yeah, and we'll kind of get to that.
Okay.
And, like, bring that up a little bit. But he prescribed her a month of birth control. But he told her she had to come back in the next few weeks to check up on the baby. And he told her, do not take this birth control. You're not allowed to. I'm only giving this to you because you are my patient. And you are asking me to do this because you want to keep the confidentiality between me and you and, like, not have your mom involved. Which, considering the fact that she was so far along, and not even necessarily, oh, he also did say to her, he was like, you know, I need you to start taking prenatal vitamins. Uh-huh. And, like I said, she could not take the birth control. And I'm just a little confused because I don't know what kind of doctor, like, prescribes a medication that their patient can't have.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Even if it's something so little as birth control, it's right, still, like, concerning.
Like, I know for my doctor, that's a big thing. I can't imagine going to my doctor and being like, XYZ, blah, 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 and then being like, okay, I'll prescribe this. Don't take it.
Right.
A little weird.
Super weird, actually. Like, here's these narcotics, but don't take them.
Right. Like, I just feel like you can't prescribe birth control to a woman who is pregnant, regardless of the circumstance.
No. I agree. So,
and I could be wrong, but from what I've read, he actually did. He did prescribe this. So, about 9 days later, Skylar goes to her prom, and she actually still fit into the dress that she had tried on months earlier. So this is in May that she tries, that she goes to prom and has this dress on. She tried this dress on back in early March. Oh, so that's when you gain the most in your pregnancy, and she still fit into it. And I will say, if you look at the pictures, like, you can see a baby bump in her prom dress, but not an 8 month.
No, she was pregnant. Like maybe four.
Yeah, like it was a tiny, tiny bump. And less than 2 days later, in the middle of the night on May 7th, 2017, according to Skylar, she gave birth to a little girl who was stillborn. She didn't tell her parents. They didn't hear her. She claims that she gave birth to the baby girl, who she named Annabelle, in the toilet, and she wasn't crying. Skylar then quietly buried her in a shallow grave in their backyard, and she didn't tell a soul until about, like, 2 months later. She went back to the gynecologist's office, and she went back to refill her birth control prescription, because she had this Brandon, this new boyfriend, whatever, and the doctor, and it was a different doctor that she had seen. It was a female doctor. The other one was a male. The doctor, seeing her with no baby, was like, what the fuck? Like, where's your baby?
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, Skylar kind of broke down and told her what had happened, and that she gave birth to this baby and buried her, and she was stillborn, and blah, blah, blah. And that week, the police officers showed up to the Richardsons' home after that doctor had kind of notified them what had happened. And her parents drove her to the police station after officers told them that she wasn't in trouble. They just needed to talk to her, blah, blah, blah. The same story we always hear with police.
Yeah.
And from what I understand from them, this was like their biggest regret, because they allowed her to sit down and like have a whole conversation and talk to them. Totally recorded without a lawyer, which is a terrible decision.
Yeah.
And at this point, her parents had no idea what was going on. Like, they didn't know she ever had a baby or buried it or whatever. So Skylar kind of sits down in an interrogation room and describes to the officers what had happened that night, and the fact that the baby wasn't breathing and she buried the baby, this, that, and the other thing. And they allowed her to talk to her parents after this, and meanwhile, the cameras are still recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that here you kind of see her explain this to her parents, who, like, up till now had no idea what was happening, and they were totally shocked. And I read quite a few things about her parents, especially her mom, that people believe that her mom actually knew about this prior and stuff like that. And I can't really find any evidence to support that her mom knew about this prior. The only thing I can find are some, like, shady texts that they had.
Yep.
But I don't know that they proved that her mom knew that this had happened.
I feel like they proved that her mom wanted her to look perfect and be perfect. I don't think that they proved that the mom knew anything. Would I be surprised if the mom knew anything? No. But
I agree. I 100% agree. And they were, like, totally shocked. Like, her dad especially. And I felt bad for her dad, because I don't think that he had any idea, especially. Mm-hmm. Like, I also don't think her mom did, but I felt really bad for her dad. And, you know, now she's sitting there telling them what happened, and they're sitting there in an interrogation room with cameras on them. And I will say, you can tell how scared she is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, she looks very scared. She's crying. She's like, I'm so sorry, mommy. She's still calling her mom mommy at 18 years old, almost. Like, 17 years old, whatever it was.
I knew that.
She's very scared. She's very upset. And it kind of goes on for a while, and she explains kind of the same thing to them. And I kind of take this part with a grain of salt, but she does a lot, and a lot of people like to take a lot of stock in this. She refers to the baby as it quite a few times. However, I do feel as though you hear her call the baby her quite a bit as well. So, like, I don't think that that's much to take stock in. A lot of people like to say, like, oh, she was saying it to, like, disassociate from the baby and blah, 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 blah.
I don't think I would really read too much into that.
I agree. I don't really take much into that. That being said, that day, investigators dig up the remains of baby Annabelle. She named the baby Annabelle.
Gross name.
Right, kind of creepy.
Terrifying name.
Very creepy. They dig up the remains of Annabelle on their property, on the Richardson's property. And they don't have enough to hold her on, or really even, like, a concrete crime. That was so weird about this, is, like, there wasn't anything that was, like, an actual crime that they could pinpoint.
Yeah.
So they let her go. But they bring her back in for questioning 6 days later, after new evidence had been found. So the forensic anthropologist, who is the person who kind of, like, looks into the remains to determine the cause of death, that's not a coroner, because there's not, like, an actual body. It's just bones, pretty much. Like, there's just remains.
Right.
And she had determined that there was a possibility the baby's bones had been burned. And when this was brought to Skylar's attention, she denies it 17 times. Like, an entire 17 times. She says, like, I didn't burn her. I had nothing to do with burning. Like, there was nothing going on with, like, she looks sad and scared. And that's the thing about this girl, is, like, the entire time, she looks like she doesn't even know what she's saying. She's just petrified, you know?
Yeah.
I would say that. However, on the 18th time, she says that she may have taken a lighter and burned her foot a little bit in an attempt to cremate her. However, she noticed, like, it wasn't burning how she thought it would, or something like that.
How did she think a foot would burn? That's what I want to know.
I don't really know, but she thought that she was cremating her.
Also, why would you deny it 17 times and then be like, okay, just kidding, I might have lit the foot on fire? Like,
that's what I find suspicious, and I'll kind of, like, get more into it.
Yeah.
But I find that very strange. And she was also asked multiple times if there was any chance that the baby was still alive when born, like, multiple times. And repeatedly she had said, like, no, there's no way the baby was alive. She was not alive, blah, blah, blah. And I will say this, is that the investigators, while they're talking to her about the whole thing with burning the baby, they say, is there any way that maybe you were, like, trying to cremate her and burn her ashes and, you know, and maybe that's what you did, and that's why the burn marks show up. And that's when she says, well, you know, I may have tried to cremate her, but it didn't work, so I stopped immediately. And then they say to her, you know, is there any chance that the baby could have been alive? Maybe the baby moved a tiny bit. Did the baby move, like, the slightest bit?
Mm-hmm.
And that's finally when Skylar said she may have made a sound. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She may have moved her arm a tiny bit. And then they said, could she have made a sound? Like, maybe she made a gurgle or something. Like,
yeah,
maybe she made some sort of a noise. And she said, and I have in quotes, she may have made a sound. She may have made a gurgle. And after that, they had enough to charge her. So they arrested her on the charge of reckless homicide.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed that she actually had suffocated the baby. So I find that a little interesting about the fact that, like, she said no, no, no. And then they try to, like, twist and turn something.
Right. And they convince her that, yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, 2 weeks later, at her first hearing, she was indicted on 4 more charges. She was indicted on aggravated murder, involuntary manslaughter, endangering a child, and the gross abuse of a corpse.
Okay.
The prosecutor states that Skylar had given birth to this baby, suffocated the baby, and burned the baby. He continues that this baby would not fit into Skylar's life, and speaks about how the family only cares about vanity and how they appear, and the fact that they wanted to keep up with the Joneses and keep their perfection image.
Right.
And he also spoke a little bit to her eating disorder. He talked about how, you know, she had this eating disorder to keep herself looking the best she possibly could.
Yeah.
So at this point, Skylar was offered a plea deal, and she actually turned the plea deal down. I'm not exactly sure what the plea deal was, but she did turn it down. And 2 years later, on September 3rd, 2019, her trial finally began.
Which I found so strange that it took this long.
No, they usually do.
Really?
Yeah, they usually
take about... Am I just not paying attention to dates?
So, typically, a trial does take about 2 years to get together to start. Because the defense has to kind of, like, get their case together. The prosecution usually has the beginning of their case together, but they need to organize theirs. But it's mostly for the defense's case where they need to figure out what they have going on. It usually does take about 2 years.
Okay.
So the prosecution opens up, and normally in, I mean, always in any type of a murder case or any kind of a case, the prosecution is always going to open the case up and they're going to always present their evidence. Whereas the defense is always going to get the last word.
Right.
They're always say the last thing. So the prosecution opens up, and their case against Skylar, the first thing they start out is reading a text message from Skylar to her mom. And this was the day that the baby was born. So, mm-hmm. but earlier, like later in the morning, I guess, because the baby was born in the early hours of May 7th.
Yep.
So this is like later on, Skylar's already at school. And she texts her mom. She says, "I'm literally speechless. I can't even tell you how happy I am. My belly is back. Oh my God. I am never, ever, ever letting it get like that again." And she texts her mom again and says, "You're about to see me looking freaking better than before. Oh my God." So this is kind of what the prosecution used to like base their case off of, was like the text messages between her and her mom and how like weird they were. And I will say, like, I do feel as though her mom has something to do with her eating disorder.
Did her mom respond to those text messages?
I don't recall. Like, I didn't necessarily read about it. I never
saw that.
I don't remember seeing anything.
Yeah.
Or her mom maybe like was like, "Oh, I'm so proud of you." So yeah, I did not see anything that stated necessarily what her mom was saying back in those text messages, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, was there something else that you kind of wanted to say?
No, I just wonder like what the mother's response would be to those. You know what I mean? Like, I how do you respond? But I mean, I don't know the dynamic of their relationship, and if it is as fucked up as I think it is, I feel like she would say something along the lines of, "Oh my God, I'm so proud of you," type thing, even though it's right. Not something to be proud of.
No, I agree, and I almost do think that their relationship was that fucked up, and now yeah. The mom is kind of regretting that that's what it was, because she didn't realize what she was doing.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably the case, but at the time, she was probably like, "Oh, I'm so proud," or like, "Oh, that's great," or who knows, maybe she was so, like, upset about her daughter's disease that she had, and realistically she was saying like things that she thought would make her daughter happy or feel better when she was trying to protect her from binging or getting rid of her food. In my opinion, I watched an entire episode of 48 Hours with both parents, and you can really see the hurt in her dad.
Like, oh yeah, I don't think he even really understood.
No.
Like, even his own wife.
He was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell he was heartbroken. And so, the prosecutors kind of, like, continue that all of her actions clearly demonstrate that she did not want this baby. And while they can't prove the baby was alive, however, she did say in her own words that the baby may be alive, and the arm may have moved a little.
Right.
And she also had said that she may have held her too tight, causing her to pass away. You know, the prosecution still stands by the fact that they feel that this baby was born alive, and the fact that she wanted nothing to do with it proves that it wasn't a stillborn.
Right. And I agree.
So the defense's argument is, however, that she was clearly easily manipulated by authority figures. And they kind of talk about the fact that she's clearly manipulated by her parents, especially her mom. Whatever her mom wants, she does. You know, whatever the prosecution or the investigators were asking of her, she gave. Like I said before, she was asked 17 times about burning that body. And then on the 18th, after they had suggested something to her, she agreed to it.
So weird.
So weird, which is why I can understand where the defense is coming from, that she's clearly a scared, timid little girl. And she, I don't want to say little girl, but like, I don't think she can handle authority.
No.
I think she gives people whatever they want.
She's an only child, right?
No, she had a brother. Oh, okay. I think a younger brother.
Okay.
So on top of this, her attorney also claims that the prosecution has little to no evidence concluding that she ever did anything to this baby or was ever born as a stillborn. And even the forensic anthropologist who was who went on the stand to testify for the state, she actually kind of went back on what she was saying and about the baby's body being burned, because she said she couldn't prove it. When she went up there for her testification or whatever to testify, she had said, you know, this body, the not body, but the remains prove that this body was burned. So when they cross-examined her, they had said to her, based on just the evidence of the remains, can you prove that this baby was alive when burned? Or can you prove that this baby was alive when came out? And she said, based on just the evidence, no. But based on her, based on Skylar's confession, it makes sense with what I see on the remains.
Right.
Now, there were multiple witnesses for the state that were there to kind of claim that there was evidence that the cause of the death of the baby was homicidal violence, but the violence was unknown, and every time that each of them were cross-examined, they were actually proven wrong. And
how can they even do that if the violence was unknown?
Exactly. And that's, I think, the majority of where the defense came from, was right. You can't even tell me what had happened. So I don't know. I do find that a little bit interesting. And they all had stated there was no way to determine if the baby was born alive or if the baby was born dead. However, all of them did say, based on what Skylar had said happened with like burning the foot a little bit or whatever, matched up with their findings. That all being said, these remains are 2 months old. So I think that it's very difficult to determine if that's just the bones decaying.
Right.
There's no, it's not like the baby or the body was buried in something. It was just buried in the dirt. So I think it's really hard to explain if it were decaying or if it were any of it was burned or cremated, whatever.
I wonder how big this baby was.
So the baby was really tiny. It was born quite early. I mean, from what I understand, it was 4 to 5 pounds.
Yeah, considering the pictures and how small she was, I just...
Oh, yeah. She was so small.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's time for the defense to present their case. And Skylar had described to investigators during her long questioning that she had never cut an umbilical cord. And she said that Annabelle was white when she came out. And they had a professional, I don't know that he was an OBGYN, but somebody who delivers baby, like a delivery nurse.
Uh-huh.
They had him questioned on the stand. And he stated that both of those are actually like evidence that there was a stillborn baby, and that a newborn almost always comes out like kind of purple and white. That's like the first sign that you notice that a baby is stillborn. And also the fact that she never had cut an umbilical cord, which to him says that, you know, the umbilical cord just like kind of came out at the time or detached itself, which uh-huh. is a sign of a stillborn baby. Also, the fact that she had only gained 15 pounds during her entire pregnancy,
oh my God.
Which would most definitely have restricted the baby's development. And aside from that, let's say that this, and they didn't talk much on this because I think this would make her probably appear more guilty. Mm-hmm. But if she were taking that birth control that the doctor had prescribed, all these things together would probably give her a stillborn baby.
Oh, yeah. I feel like she took it.
I feel like she took it personally. Because yeah. she thought that it would just like terminate the pregnancy, probably.
Right. Which I guess it did.
It did, but here you are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of want to get into the closing arguments, which took place on the seventh day of this trial. So it was a 7-day long trial. So it was kind of short, actually, for a trial. Mm-hmm. And I also just want to note that Skylar also never took the stand. She didn't.
Really?
Mm-mm. She didn't say anything, which they say if you're on defense for any kind of a case, you're better off not taking the stand. Because you can kind of trip up your words and you can kind of like trap yourself into something where like you can think that you're coming across as innocent, but you're coming across as guilty. It's also not good for the jury to have an opinion of you like that. It's mm-hmm. better for them to just have an opinion on how you look and if you look innocent or not, not how you talk. Look at Jodi Arias, which
right.
about next week. But so the prosecution opens up at the closing arguments and they talk about how Skylar's baby was extremely unwanted. This baby did not fit her lifestyle. It didn't fit her mother's lifestyle. It didn't fit her friends, her entire families. And it especially didn't like fit the fact that she's going to college in the fall. She was going to go away to school. And this definitely did not fit into her perfect appearance and her perfect reputation. And she would do anything at whatever cost it took to make sure that this could not change that for her. So that's kind of where the prosecution stood. And then it was kind of the defense's turn. So their closing argument basically brought up the thought of reasonable doubt. And if there is any sort of reasonable doubt in your mind, then you cannot convict her of this crime. There's no concrete evidence that this baby was ever born alive, and the jury was kind of left to deliberate. So it took them 4 hours to deliberate, and wow. which is a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So the jury determined that Skylar was found not guilty of aggravated murder.
Oh my God.
She was found not guilty of involuntary manslaughter. She was found not guilty of child endangerment.
What?
And she was found guilty of gross abuse of a corpse, which okay. could carry up to a year in prison. And the judge that was handing down her sentencing, he had kind of like pretty sternly said to her how he was like, I firmly believe, Skylar, that if you would have made different decisions before, during, and after the birth of Annabelle, she would be here right now.
I agree.
Yeah, and he had said, you know, you took all the wrong steps. Is there evidence that this baby was living when you gave birth? No. And do I believe that she was born? She was alive when she was born? No. Because of the steps that you took prior, during, and after.
Right.
And he sentenced her to 3 years of probation. Skylar is now in an eating disorder treatment program, and the family actually leaves, which I don't know how I feel about yet. We'll discuss this, but the family leaves an angel at the spot where Annabelle was once buried.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really bad for her family, especially her dad. I feel really, really bad for Annabelle's father because he has a daughter that like he had no say in. And right. I feel really bad for his family because they have a granddaughter or could have had that they had no like say or help in. And I'm sure that they think that she, you know, killed her and she wasn't born stillborn. But the remains were actually returned to the Richardsons and Annabelle was laid to rest in a private ceremony. So that's pretty much all that there is for the facts of this. And I kind of want to know what your opinion is on everything.
So I definitely feel like I'm very indifferent about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel for her, because she was so young and she probably didn't know what to do. She probably felt like she couldn't go to her own mother because of the way she was raised.
Yep.
And she had this problem, and she kind of took care of it in the way that she thought was okay.
Sure.
But at the same time, how do you just, like, even if the baby, like, wasn't alive when it was born, how do you just dispose of it like that? How do you just give birth in your bathroom, bury it, wake up the next morning, and go to school the next day?
And then text messages.
And then text your mom and be like, oh my god, my belly's gone. How? That's the part that I don't understand. Like,
typically I'm somebody who totally sides with the prosecution on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I usually, like, believe what they have to say at face value, and I just, like, side there.
Yeah.
But this one, I can comprehend where the defense is coming from, especially in the fact of how, I think, intimidated and scared she is by authority figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes down to her parents. I think that comes down to law enforcement. And I think she was so afraid of her parents and telling them what had happened. I mean, this is the thing. She gave birth to this baby in a toilet. I mean, how many times have we watched 16 and Pregnant or any kind of those, like, shows that... Do you remember A Baby Story on TLC?
Yep.
Where they're, like, giving birth to these babies and they're screaming out in pain. Like, she probably didn't even scream out in pain because she was so afraid of waking her parents and so afraid of them. And I could be totally wrong here. I could be, like, completely wrong and... her mom knew or something, and they did everything they could to kill this baby. But, like, as much as I truly believe she did not want this baby at all and she wanted it to have nothing to do with her, I do think she did everything possible up until that birth to make sure this baby wouldn't be born.
Yeah.
But when the baby was born, I think she was petrified. And I do think it was a stillborn because I think she was taking birth control and it probably killed the fucking baby.
Do you think that she knew she was pregnant before she went to the gynecologist?
I kind of do, or at least had an idea.
And she kind of, do you think that she kind of, like, ignored it and just, like...
I do.
And then when it was confirmed, then she was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's how I feel.
I do. I really do. I really do think that she, like, had an idea. And... what's crazy to me is, like, for a while I was like, how could her parents not know? But she didn't necessarily look pregnant until that prom picture.
Yeah, I agree.
She just looked like she had gained some weight.
Yeah.
And she had this new boyfriend. I don't know. I just... This is one of those that I could not sentence this girl to life in prison over this.
I don't think I could either.
Because I think about, and the defense brought this up, they brought up reasonable doubt. And I have enough to not, there is too much reasonable doubt to sit there and say, okay, I'm convicting her.
I feel like she got, like, pretty much what I would give her.
I agree. And she went through all of this. And you can tell how scared, if you actually sit there and watch the
sentencing?
No, not the sentencing. The, like, interviews with the police that she has, the questioning. She's so afraid.
Did you see...
She just wants to appease.
Did you see, I'm sure you did, the part where they were, like, describing the corpse
mm-hmm.
and her reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, that reaction, that's how I feel like I... wouldn't give her, like, life in prison,
mm-hmm.
all that. I wouldn't give her the max sentencing because I feel like she really didn't know what to do in that time. And
no,
she, yeah, I don't think she's a shitty person.
No, I think she's I think she's honestly, like, a very sweet person. She was just scared of the people in her life.
Yeah.
I think she was very scared of her mom. I think that that's the beginning of everything. And I think that her mom kind of led her to have this eating disorder. Yeah. And I think that when she was questioned by authorities, it made her feel like, okay, I just need to, like, answer what they want me to answer, and then I can, like, go home.
Uh-huh.
So truthfully, in this case, like, when I had first, like, read about it before I had, like, clicked on anything or, like, read any information, like, I just saw the headline and stuff, I remember being like, oh my god, this girl definitely killed her baby, like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then I, like, really read into it, and I was like, I don't think so. And I feel for the girl. I mean, she was less than 90 pounds during her entire trial.
Yeah.
That's how ill she was.
Yeah.
So unhealthy. How tall is she? Do we know?
I think she's 5'4". I'm not positive, but I think she's...
Oh my god, I wish I was 90 pounds. No, I'm just kidding.
But right, like, she clearly had so many issues.
Yeah.
And you know what? For somebody like her, who is clearly scared, who is clearly... I just don't see her, like, trying to kill this baby. But I don't... I think that this is fair. Putting her in prison would be a death sentence for her.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't know.
Me neither.
I do believe, though, that she got what she needed to get.
Yeah, I don't think that she should have just gotten off without anything, because she should have told someone.
Yes.
Like,
not 2 months later.
I don't know. Told her mom something. Yes. Told her boyfriend. I don't know.
The way that it worked out was not okay or not good.
Mm-mm.
But I don't think that that means that there was an ulterior motive and she actually killed this baby.
No, she didn't give birth to a live baby and murder it.
I don't think so, because she gave birth to this baby a month early. She only had gained 15 pounds. There was no umbilical cord. The baby came out white. Like, how many more things do we need to say?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I stand. I don't know if you have any more to say on this, but...
I really don't. I don't. I wonder if she's still with her boyfriend.
I feel like no.
I also feel like no.
Yikes.
Yeah.
No, I feel like no. And I do feel for Annabelle's dad and his family, because
yeah,
they actually spoke at the hearing, and they said, you know, how... Skylar actually took everything away from, like, she took their granddaughter away from them, and she took so many things away from them by doing what she did. And
they didn't even know that she existed.
No, they knew nothing until this.
That's so sad.
And that's, like, heartbreaking for them.
Yeah.
And it's probably also heartbreaking for them now to watch her family get the remains back.
Yeah.
But I truly hope that they can come to a place where they can, like, you know, put the remains in a good place and both be able to go visit and move forward.
So sad.
Super sad.
But so. I do think that she got what she should have gotten, and I hope that she can move on with her life and have a normal life now.
I agree. Fully agree.
And I hope that she gets help with her eating disorder, for sure.
Same. I think it's great that she's in a rehab program.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think that that's all that we both have to say about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. It's
an interesting episode.
It's definitely been an interesting episode. We definitely covered a lot today.
We did.
And a lot of good stuff. So mm-hmm. I feel like we had two very different cases today, which was kind of cool.
So different.
Yeah, super different. And we never do anything like that, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Let us know. Give us comments, rates, reviews, whatever. Just let us know how you guys feel about this, because we could do more of these, like, shorter, totally different cases, too, yeah. if that's liked. But, yeah, so we're going to see you guys on Friday with another Teen Mom 2 and Teen Mom Young and Pregnant episode, right?
Hopefully this week's episodes will have a little more, you know,
pizzazz.
Yeah, good word, good word.
So, yeah, we'll see you with those on Friday. And then next Monday, we will be back again with another true crime episode. And that's actually going to be a serious true or two-parter episode.
And the fun part for us is that we will be in person doing it.
Yes, we will be in person. Holding
hands the entire time.
Yeah, lately we've been having to do this over a computer screen just because of our schedules. Mm-hmm. But we will be together recording that. And we're going to be doing Jodi Arias, which we have been attached to since we were young.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information there, which is why we need to make it into two parts. So I'm thinking that you guys will hear from us on Friday.
Yep, for sure.
With our Teen Mom. You'll hear from us next Monday with part one of Jodi Arias. And maybe Wednesday we'll do a bonus episode of part two.
I like that.
Of Jodi Arias. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us anywhere that you listen to your podcasts on any platform. We are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Anchor, wherever you can find us. Please give us a 5-star rating. Leave some comments.
Follow us on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Come check out our Instagram. It's Wine Crime TV Time Pod. We also have a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Please join us on any of those. And we'll talk to you guys on Friday. Bye.
Bye.